Hey, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Brother James Boutte, member here at Holland Heights Church of Christ. And as always, it is a blessing to be before you and proclaim the Word of God. And for this reason, I would like to thank God for this opportunity. And I also would like to thank Him for His mercy and grace for his blessing of life. For we know that with each breath of life, we have another opportunity to get it right with him. Additionally, I would like to thank Brother Stroud for the invitation and Brother Brooks to allow me to proclaim the Word of God, as well as the entire leadership at the Holland Heights Church of Christ for their continued support and service for our Lord. And I would like to thank all of the brothers who have served before me on this afternoon as well. And lastly, I would like to welcome and thank any visitors who may not be a member of the Church of Christ for joining us this afternoon. It is my prayer that something may be said on this hour to prick your heart to diligently search the scriptures, seeking truth, desiring to obey this truth in its entirety. For we know that God seeketh those who seek to worship him, John 4:23-24. And we also know in 1 Corinthians 14:33, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And if you are not a member of the Church of Christ, the only church that you can read about in the Bible, then I encourage you to diligently search the scriptures, because confusion does not come from man, from God, but of man. And my lesson for this afternoon comes from John 21. And my title of this lesson is just one question, and a powerful question from Jesus. And that question is, do you love me? And if we are honest with ourselves, what would anyone's answer be if Jesus was to ask you this? I am sure your answer would be similar to that of Peter's first two answers in the scriptures that we'll go over momentarily. I just want us all to understand what has happened before these series of questions that was posed to Peter. And at this point in John chapter 21, Jesus has now appeared to his disciples for the third time after his resurrection. In verse 2 and 3, Peter and the disciples have went fishing, and they have been fishing all night and didn't catch anything. And in verse 4, we see that morning, Jesus stood on the shoreline, but the disciples didn't know who it was. In verse 5, Jesus asked, did you catch anything? And see, Jesus already knew the answer to this, right? But they replied and they said no. And in verse 6, he said, well, put your net on the right side and you will catch something. And so they obeyed and they put their net on the right side, and they couldn't even draw the net. It was so many fish in it. And then in verse 7, John said, Peter, it is the Lord. And Peter grabbed his coat and he jumped in the water trying to get to him. And in verse 8, we see that the other disciples followed in the boat as they was trying to get the net in, assumingly. And in verse 9, when they had reached the land, they saw fish cooking on a coal of fire and bread. And in verses 10 through 14, we see that Jesus told them to bring the fish that they had and come sit and eat. Now let's look at the learning points in the text thus far. So while Peter and the disciples were out all night trying to catch fish, concerned with trying to catch their meal, Jesus is saying, I already have it prepared for you. Jesus is saying, while you were out fishing, I already got you covered. And again, I have given you more than you need by blessing them with an overabundance of fish. And see, and what this tells me here is that we, like Peter, and sometimes we just need to put our focus back on God, because he will supply all of our needs. And he says, your needs, your wants, your desires, it's a done deal. Matthew 6, 25 through 33, he says, it's a done deal. I know you need food. I know you need stuff to drink. I know you need clothes. But he says, don't worry about all of that stuff. And in Psalms 37, 4, he says, delight yourself to the Lord. He says, commit yourself to the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And see, sometimes we get so distracted by the things that we want to do and things that we want, and we forget that God says that he already has it covered. See, brothers and sisters, friends and family, God doesn't operate on our time. God operates on his time. He already had a meal prepared for them and blessed them with more, and then he invited them to bring what they had and to come eat. And now in verse 15, John 21, verse 15. So after they had dined, so when they had dined, verse 15 here, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto them, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. See, this was the first question that Jesus asked Simon. He said, Simon, Peter, do you love me more than these? And see, let's just take a moment to see what is God asking him here? Do you love me more than these? And if we take a step back for a moment and go back to Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35, when they was about to crucify Jesus and Jesus was speaking to the disciples then, and Peter was confident about his loyalty to Jesus. And in Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35, Peter said to the Lord, he says, Lord, if all others leave you, I won't. Then Jesus told him that you would deny me three times before the cock crow. So is Jesus asking him, do you love me more than the rest of these disciples? Is he reminding him of that? Or is he asking him if he loves fishing and doing what he want to do instead of obeying him by waiting on him in Galilee? See, Peter decided to go fishing when he should have been waiting for Jesus. And Peter's answer to Jesus after he asked him this question, do you love me? He says, Lord, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then Jesus replies to him, teach the young ones. Now in verse 16, he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. This is the second time that Jesus asked Peter this question. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, Now, guide the seasoned ones as well. In addition to feed the lamb, guide the seasoned ones. Feed my sheep. And in verse 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. See, the third time he asked him, Peter, do you love me? Now, notice Peter's attitude on this third time. It says he was grieved, but then he acknowledged that God is the all-knowing God. And Peter's response this time was, You know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus replied, Tend to my sheep. He says, Be there for my people. And see, God is showing Peter, and at the same time by this example, he is showing us that despite our failures, we can still be used by God because he is a forgiving God. So what was the message to Peter? Is the message to him to teach? Because he is an example and a witness to Jesus' goodness and forgiveness. So he's telling them to be a mentor to the kids, to the young ones. Teach them about my goodness. But not just them, be a testimony of my goodness to the seasoned folks as well. Is this the message that he's trying to get across to Peter? Then the third time the scripture said Peter was grieved. It said Peter was saddened. He was disappointed that the Lord kept asking him the same question. Now, most of us might get frustrated when someone keeps asking us the same question. But what it does is forces us to give it a little more thought after some self-reflection. But notice Peter's reaction. He was grieved and he was saddened. Why? Maybe because it was his guilt. Guilt to what? See, Peter had denied Jesus three times. So maybe it took Peter three times to come to that realization. And see, in 2 Corinthians 7, verses 10, that it tells us that godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. And my question to you is, how long will it take us to realize our shortcomings? Must we wait to be grieved or waiting to be saddened by Christ to really evaluate our love for him? So why should we wait for travail and tribulation? Because let me tell you, it will come at some point in this lifetime. But don't wait till something happened or an event in your life to look for God. Or sometimes we say that we're going to wait till we get it together before we give ourselves to Christ. Why must we wait? See, sometimes we think we have it together when we don't. Look at Peter. He was a fisherman, but he couldn't find the fish that day. Let's just think of what some of the fishermen may say when they have a bad day. You know, Brother Childress, you're a fisherman. What is
What are some things we may say? Okay, the fish are in deeper water today. Today it just wasn't my day. It just was a bad day of fishing. But on the way back, Jesus showed them otherwise. Jesus showed them that even the fish will obey me. And he showed them that I can make you a believer again. But why does it have to take us to be grieved sometimes in this lifetime that we live? Why does it take that when I keep showing you over and over and over again? If you realize the goodness of God, we can realize the goodness of God when we walk outside on a daily basis. But like Peter, we all fall short of God's glory sometimes. We get so distracted by the world around us, and we tend to put God's righteousness on the back burner. And see, in Romans 3 and 23, it says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But like Peter, at some point, all of us have failed the Lord in our lives. There are things that we know to do and do it not. And James 4:17 says it is sin itself. And maybe there are things that you are not aware of that you do. But as Jesus is able to forgive Peter and restore him, he will do the same thing for us. And how do I know that? Because he has already paid the price for you. And as he asks Peter, he is asking us the same question. He's saying, Brother Butte, do you love me? He is asking, Brother Stroud, do you love me? He is asking, Brother Brooks, do you love me? He is asking each of you under the sound of my voice right now, today, he is asking, do you love me? What will your answer be? John 14:15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not try, or not wait till you get it right. But he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the commandment, the greatest commission that he gave in the scriptures today, he gave the commandment in Mark 16:15-16. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. And he says, go preach this gospel to them. He says, go tell them what I did. He said, tell them that I already paid the price for their sin problem. He said, tell them that the price has been paid to just obey me. Tell them how I died for the lies that they tell. Tell them how I died for the infidelity, how I died for the adulterer, how I died for that addiction that you have. Tell them how I died for the problem that you have for forgiveness and the problem that you have being worried in this time of the pandemic because you're trying to do it yourself. He says, tell them how I died for them despite their wicked ways that they might have a chance at eternal life. Now take a moment and think about your life and ask yourself, do I live a life that illuminates in this dark world and proves and confirms my love for Christ? Romans 5:8, while you were yet sinners, Christ died. The lies that you tell, you sticking the nails in his wrist. The forsaking the assembly and saying you don't, that it doesn't matter which church you attend, you're putting the nails in his feet. The infidelity, the wicked ways, you are hanging him on the cross. But Jesus, while yet we were yet sinners, Christ died. And see, sin affects any relationship. Sin affects your relationship with God, because when sin is in your life, you can't pray. You are separated from God. There is not a such thing as a sinner's prayer. We have to get the problem of sin fixed. And Jesus died for your sins and was buried in a tomb and rose again the third day. We are dead to sin, and we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism. Contact the blood. He hung on the cross. Acts 20 and 28, it says, a soldier pierced him in his side, and out came blood and water. That blood that purchased his church, and that same blood would cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you complete your obedience to him by obeying the gospel and contacting that blood in a watery grave of baptism. Now you can rise as Jesus rose and walk in the newness of life. That gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection that we can read about in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And after that obedience, it says in Acts 2:47 that the Lord will add you to the church. So the saved are in the church that he purchased with his own blood. So Jesus already paid the price for us. Would there be another sacrifice for sins? No. Shall we continue in sin and grace may abound? God forbid. So it's time for us to do some self-reflection on our lives and ask ourselves the question, do I really love Jesus the way I proclaim to love him? And in verse 18, John 21, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto them, him, follow me. Jesus is saying here in these passages of scripture that one day in times past when we was younger, we went about doing whatever we wanted to do. And he says, but we gonna grow old one day and we gonna leave this place. But he's trying to tell us that don't worry about the cares of the world. Stop being distracted by what's going on around you because it doesn't matter. He's saying stay focused on God. See, Jesus wants us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And his promise is that he will meet our needs. He wants our focus and attention to be on him, not on things of this world, in Matthew 6. He wants us to humble ourselves. He wants us to acknowledge our errors and confess our shortcomings because of our desire to become obedient to his will. And as we serve and follow him. And my question again to you is, how deep is your love for Jesus? How devoted are you to studying and learning his word? Can you stand steadfast in his teaching even when it's not popular to those that are around you? Are you willing to suffer for the cause of Christ even if it would requires death? Now, what sin that you can desire or commit that can be worse than denying the Lord and Savior that died for you? Or yet even killing Jesus? And now, as you have had some time to do some self-reflecting, if Jesus was to ask you, now fill your name in the blank, my brother. Fill your name in the blank, my sister. Fill your name in the blank, family and friends. Blank. Do you love me? Do you love me more than the things that you work so hard for in this world? Do you love me more than the life that you used to live before you became a Christian? And it just may be that you know you haven't been living a Christian-like life the way that you should. And if that's the case right now, it is okay because you still have life. And with life, you still have an opportunity to get it right. And it just may be that you have not been baptized into Christ or not a member of the Church of Christ and haven't been living the way that you should. And while you still have breath, you can get it right. And he says, if you love me, you will be about my Father's business. If you love me, you will change for the better, because Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday. Jesus is the same God, is the same Lord that our ancestors served. Jesus was the same years ago and will be the same forever. It is not him that changes, because he says that I will never leave you or forsake you. But it is us. It is our action. It is our sinful nature that oftentimes depart from Christ and his righteousness. We leave him. He don't leave us. We separate ourselves from him by desiring, by being selfish, desiring things of the flesh. Romans 6 and 16 says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourself service to obey? Ye servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto the death or obedience to righteousness. We live this life in one of two ways, either a life with God or without God, either a positive influence or a negative influence. There's no other way around it. And he says, if you love me, serve. Be of service through your actions of obedience, not just with lip service. Because, see, love is sacrificial for his sake. And pure love requires humility and a denial of self. And as I come to a close, brothers and sisters, family and friends, you may be on the call today and know that you haven't been the person that you should be. You may be on the call today and have not obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that saves us. The Bible teaches us that now is the accepted time of salvation, because tomorrow is not promised to no one. And you may ask that, I've done so much wrong. I haven't been living the life that I should. How do I get this right? We know in Romans 10:17 it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what is it that we hear? We have to hear that story of how Jesus died for your sins, how he was buried in the tomb and he rose again the third day. We have to acknowledge that we are living a life of sin and we don't want to live that way anymore, that we believe that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried and he rose again. Because Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when we know we've been walking a life that's not pleasing to God, we make up our mind to change. We have to repent. And it's the godly sorrows that are work, that repentance. I'm tired of being displeasing to God. I want to get my life right back on the right track. He says, Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then he says that you must confess. Acts 8:37, he says that you must confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after that confession, you are to complete your obedience and baptism. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. And then you are added to the church. Acts 2 and verses 47. And unto the members of the church of Christ, if you know you haven't been living the life that you should, he says in 1 John 9 that if we confess our sins, he is just to forgive us. Now let's take Peter as our example. Peter was restored and God still encouraged Peter. He says, feed my lambs. He says, tend to my sheep. If Christ can still use Peter, Christ can still use you. Jesus is calling for us. He says, if you stumble, I got you. Just get back up. Now is the accepted time of salvation. And if there is anyone on the call today who is subject to the Savior's invitation, we ask that you come. We ask that you make your confession known, or if you would like to be baptized into the one true church that Christ purchased with his blood, make that known, and we will make sure to get you somewhere and get you baptized. So you now can call yourself a child of God and a Christian. And if you just need prayer and you just want to be restored, it is my prayer that you get it back right. You confess your faults. Get your life back in line with what God, with how God would have us live. Now is the accepted time of salvation. And will you come today and recommit yourself to the Lord as we sing the song of invitation?